podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
And point down a wall! Bring it on! Kane goes for it! Oh, what a goal from Harry Kane! Here's Lucas Moura. Oh, they've done it! I cannot believe it! Oh, Stevie Wonder! Stevie Bergwijn! Romero scores for Tottenham Hotspur! Son goes on and scores quite remarkably.
Hello and welcome to The Last Word on Spurs. We hope you're getting very, very safe and well. You know, at this moment, I just want to hand over. And you want to take this over? We've been discussing you doing the intro of The Last Word on Spurs. You know what? Andy Costa, kick us off. Go on, Andy. Let's hear it. Come on.
Hello and welcome to The Last Word on Spurs. Hope you're keeping safe and well out there. Yes, we're all good at the moment. And you can find us on Audio Boom, Spotify, YouTube. Where else are we going, Rick?
It's good, well, listen,
throw in iTunes, throw iTunes in.
Yeah, throw iTunes in. God.
You kick it off, son.
We are here, of course, for a big North London derby preview. God, what a North London derby we've got coming your way. I think we can all safely say we would have rather gone into this under better circumstance in terms of points as to where Spurs are standing. But listen, still a massive game. Huge, huge night coming your way Thursday evening. We've got some wonderful guests joining us on The Last Word on Spurs. There you go. First up, he's brought himself into the picture already. We've got the wonderful Anthony Costa back on Last Word on Spurs. And lovely to have you here. How are you?
Yeah, it's good to see you, Rick, mate. Good to see Frank. Good to see Michael as well. Yeah, it's going to be a good one tonight. A positive one, because we can only be positive because we don't know the result. And I'm very much looking forward to it, getting into it. And just love the show and I'm glad to be back.
Always a pleasure, mate. Always a pleasure. Lovely to have this man back. Now, Thursday is a very special night for him in particular. I just hope Spurs do deliver on what's his birthday night. I hope you won't mind me saying that. Frankie Major, I'm hoping, mate, it's going to be a very, very happy birthday for you. How are you feeling, Frank?
Well, I'm feeling confident, but it's just a shame that we're not going into this game where a win would take us into a position where it put it back into our own hands. That's the only downfall. But I'm looking forward to a long day. A few of us are going to get together early, as you can imagine, and it could either be the best birthday, if the result goes the right way, or it could be horrendous and I could be going home in tears. But we, as Ant said, we must remain positive. We've got a fantastic home record against Arsenal in recent years. When was the last time they beat us? Was it 7 years ago in a league game at home? First North London derby with away fans in a new stadium, which is incredible considering it's been open for over 3 years now. First packed house, North London derby. We had 2,000 fans there last time, but this is going to be something special. And I just know that our fans are going to show up and turn out and make it atmospheric. It's going to be unbelievable, but we just need the result to match what will be an incredible night at the new stadium.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
I must say, Rick, before you introduce our next guest, watching football with Mr. Major is the funniest thing in the world. It's just brilliant, mate. It's that he kicks every ball. He heads every ball.
I couldn't sit down on Saturday. We went to the corner pin, Beavertown, and we had a bench with Lily White Rose, John Wenham, who's obviously a part of the show, and a few of us. And I could not sit down. I can't sit down. I stood against the bin in the corner, didn't I? And I was very, very emotional after probably two pints. So I kick every ball. It's what we do, ain't though, isn't it?
I know, mate.
Passion, passion.
I'll tell you what. Thursday night, what we got in store. This man, please have him back on. You normally see him during transfer season, keeping us updated. So it's lovely to get him back on for what is a massive game. And I will say he's very, very excited. We'll find out if he's a bit nervous as well. We've got the wonderful Michael Bridge, Sky Sports' very own Michael Bridge. Mike, love you back on. How you doing, my friend?
Always great to be on here. First day, it's must win. And then we're all Geordies. So I think it's as simple as that, really. I've got to do the job as well. That horrible midday kickoff against Burnley.
Yep.
But I really want Tottenham fans to play a big part Thursday, the 12th man and all that. You know, it's the best stadium for me around, but sometimes I feel the atmosphere can be better. Let's make it better Thursday.
Yeah, totally agree. Must just start, Frankie very kindly brought it on just a second ago, that a quick shout out to our sponsors now, Beavertown Corner Pin. Obviously, that's bang opposite the South Stand. They're doing some amazing screenings of all Spurs televised away games. They've got that brilliant home and away feature. But of course, don't forget, you can go there, you know, pre-match. It is absolutely rocking. I must say, you know, Frank, you know, he's been down there recently, as has John Wenham. I think we've all gone down there at some point this season. Really great place to start the atmosphere. You've got some, you know, great music that goes on pre-match. You've got the Gimme, Gimme, Gimme. I know Lee McQueen loves the club special, so he'll be keeping that going. And even you've got some smoke cannons off when Spurs are scoring, when we're not playing Nuno Ball, which we had for a period in the Conte over the last few games.
That's what happened. I didn't realise, right? We scored the other night. The screen went blank and there started fire cans. I was like, I said to the DJ, I started shouting, going, put the football back on, put the football back on. Before you know it, it was back on. I was like, I didn't get it. Didn't get that. But it was fun. It was fun.
And of course, you've got the whole Beavertown range exclusively available to you. And of course, Lee McQueen, we know Lee's on the laser crush at the moment, but he told me he's going to be off it on Thursday night. So, Lee McQueen, that's going to come on last one on Spurs straight after the game. There is going to be a show on Thursday. Don't ask me how we're going to do it, but we are going to find a way to do it, depending on whatever everyone's mood's going to be and how many drinks that we've all had down our neck. So we'll come on to that later on. But guys, listen, big preview. Mike, let's start with you. I just want to know your thoughts on Spurs' current form going into the North London Derby. How are you feeling about Spurs overall at the moment?
I don't know, Ricky. I think this is the answer. I mean, do you know what? In a funny way, I know it's like after the Lord Mayor's show, you're saying it. I didn't expect to paste in Thursday, Saturday, because you know how much I think of Antonio Conte and how he sets up and what we did at Manchester City. So Saturday's performance for me wasn't a shock, but it was a strange one. How do you feel after it? Because you know, it's probably a point isn't enough, whereas we did so well, you know, and should have won it in the end. But unfortunately, we're probably going to end up looking back on Wolves at home, Southampton at home, Brighton at home, you know, those games, Burnley away, Brentford away. We can talk about, you know, Arsenal playing a weird Chelsea on that Wednesday, Fernandes taking that penalty for United, West Ham having one eye on the Europa League. Yeah, I get all that. But you need to do your job first. And essentially, we might not have done enough. I hope I'm wrong. I really hope I'm wrong. But, you know, it's a cliche, but form is going out the window Thursday. These players know what they need to do. It's a humongous game. Let's make that place rocking.
Yeah, totally agree. We're going to come on to Frankie in a bit about the atmosphere. I know he's working very hard behind the scenes to see if there is a way of building that atmosphere, of course, ahead of a huge game and for the rest of the season and also into next. Frankie, coming over to you, we know Arsenal currently occupying that fourth spot, a two-point advantage, obviously ahead of Spurs. And, you know, these last two games to come after these, you're going to hope that it's still in Spurs' hands. And we know, obviously, having lost three on the bounce, Arsenal have secured victories away to Chelsea, then subsequently at home to Manchester United, whereas Spurs lost home to Brighton, drew away to Brentford. You feel those games really have been, well, they've been crucial in this race for the top four. How do you feel going into it, Frank? Because we saw a really, really strong performance from Spurs at Anfield, but probably not the result we would have wanted under the circumstances of Arsenal winning against Leeds on that Sunday.
Of course, and it's just so disappointing that we're not within touching distance and we're going to be relying on Everton and a Newcastle side who have been rejuvenated and are a different side under Eddie Howe to the one they were under Steve Bruce. But they still got beaten 5-0 on the weekend, albeit by one of the best teams in the world. But that's who we're relying on, which is unfortunate. And obviously, I know Everton beat Leicester on the weekend away from home, but they've got the worst record, away record in the league this season. So echoing what Bridgie said, it's disappointing that we've dropped points in games that we shouldn't have. Even the Southampton home game, where we were leading after 72 minutes. You look at the last-minute goal against Brighton. If that hadn't have gone in, we would be 3 points behind with a much greater goal difference with the opportunity to bring it back into our hands on Thursday. So the fine margins of this league in most cases, look at the title race we've had this season and the relegation battle and the European places, how close it's been. And I just feel with Spurs, it always seems that the way, whether we were, or rather when we were going for titles under Pochettino, we was always just that little bit out from who we were trying to chase. Whatever battle we were in, we always just seem to trip ourselves over. And it is so unfortunate. However, being reflective, if you look at the turnaround this club has made since the days of Nuno and 3-0 loss at home to Manchester United, I think Conte's got the third most points in the league since he took over. I think the second or third most goals scored. There's been a massive sea change and it's encouraging. And obviously, if we can keep Conte this summer and get some more Bentancurs and some more Kulusevskis and some more Romeros into the squad, then the future looks bright for Spurs. But I just feel that if we don't do it this season and we miss out by a point on Champions League, then it's a kick in the teeth and we've done it to ourselves, Rick. But with the actual game, not talking about what the outcome could be and the permutations for the race for the top four, I think we'll beat Arsenal. I've never been this confident in a long time. And I think it's a lot of it is down to the fact of it being the first North London derby at home in the new stadium will make all the difference. And the crowd can certainly, as Bridgie said, be a 12th man. And I think they will be, particularly with it being an evening game, that always makes it more atmospheric. And I just hope and pray that we can do our job against Burnley in the game after, and even Newcastle, whatever, and do us a favour. But unfortunately, Rick, I'm not holding my breath. You know, I'm not holding on so much there, but we will see, mate.
I think Everton will be safe by the final game.
Possibly. And it's just, if you look at the last four games that Arsenal have had, I mean, the Chelsea game, when have you seen Chelsea give goals away like that to us, for instance?
Quite a contrast to Battle of Bridge, isn't it? Quite a contrast.
Of course. And then Bruno Fernandes taking that penalty and missing. United were in the ascendancy there, the goal disallowed by VAR. Then you go to the West Ham game, the Rob Holding handball in the build-up to I think it was the second goal. How VAR not picked that up? And then what are Leeds doing on the weekend? In the first minute, you get gifted a goal like that. And I hope that the stars haven't aligned for Arsenal, and that, you know, they seem to be getting that run of luck, which we haven't had yet. So hopefully that luck runs out for the last three games of the season.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Ant, coming over to you. I mean, I know this is going to make you feel sick, and I think it all makes us feel, ill to know that obviously Arsenal, if they were to beat Spurs, of course, at home, it would then mean they would qualify for the Champions League. You've always been one that talks about, you know, the club needing to show mental strength, the players need to show mental strength. Just how much of that is going to be a concern in that stadium for the fans, for the players, the fact that Arsenal go into this game not really needing to win, they can afford to get a draw, and that pretty much, you would say, barring a disaster for them, it probably may end up securing their top four finish. How do you feel, and going into that, knowing an Arsenal win would seal the top four for them?
I think it's as the lad said, the form goes out the window. It's war. If we were sitting eighth and they were sitting fourth or fifth, going into Champions League, we still need to stop them getting Champions League football. And the fact that we're fifth by 4 points and they're obviously in fourth above us, that should, excuse the pun, that should spur them on. Once they cross that white line on Thursday night at the Lane, or the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, if you want to call that now. But they've got to be ready for battle. And I think Conte will set them up for that. I think you saw it against Liverpool. I said many times with Frank the other night, and we kept saying, who's going to make a mistake? Which one's going to make a mistake? This one. And it proved me wrong because no one made a mistake on Saturday night. So I like to think the tide is turning now. And I think come Thursday night, the boys are going to be up for it. They have to be up for it. Not they might, they have to be up for it, because it's in our hands to go out there and win and put pressure on, hopefully, Arsenal going into Monday night against Newcastle. I know we've got a game against Burnley, and I think us and the lads have said numerous times, I'm more worried about that game because of the turnaround, etc. And we haven't got the squad capacity to fulfil, you know, to change it up if and when we can. I think we've got to keep the same 11. I don't think Conte will change that, but it's a case of I can't handle the fact that they will get Champions League football on the first North London derby ever at the stadium with loads of fans there, with all the fans there. It will absolutely destroy me.
Bridget, can I remember you? I mean, how do you feel that, you know, that word pressure with Spurs? It's been a word that, you know, we associate with Spurs not being able to handle it. They went to Anfield on Saturday evening. They faced a team that really Liverpool, their record, I think, was it 12 consecutive wins at home, a side that is renowned for being able to find a way to win. They've got many goals in the team. If we're being honest with you, bar a very, very, very unlucky deflection, Spurs would have walked away with all 3 points. So how do you think going into this game, Spurs are going to cope with the pressure knowing that Arsenal, they don't really need to win, whereas Spurs, they go into it having to win the game?
Yeah, I'd be very disappointed if we don't win Thursday. Obviously, we have to win. It's must win. You know, they are being drilled by an absolute winner now. And I think he's getting everything out of them. Every drip he's getting out of them. I was so impressed on Saturday. I was so impressed at City. You know, obviously Klopp was criticising us, but at the end of the day, I think Tottenham made it a title race by beating Manchester City. We've got an elite coach now and genuine world-class manager. As I say, they've got the absolute best out of these players. The worry for me is these the games left. There's not much coming off the bench. I think the team picks itself. I think the, you know, barring any injuries, that's the worry for me, is if, you know, Sessegnon could break down any second, you know, and if there's any injury of any of our players, that would be my worry, because there isn't a hell of a lot off the bench, you know, obviously bringing Winks and Sanchez and players like that. But they know what they need to do. But as I say, it's a big game, a tough, tough game for Arsenal as well. Big pressure, big atmosphere. And this is why it's so key, this atmosphere. It's two games that really stick out for me in terms of atmosphere with Tottenham. The one when Dan, the 2010 with Danny Rose, the goal. And then that when Kane scored that goal in the 2-2 when Spurs should have won. That was electric that day. Again, another North London derby. We need to bring that Thursday. And I don't think it will quite hit up. No, it's hit Arsenal. They've got a load of leaders. I've got to give credit to them. Let's not just sit here and say they're this, they're that, they're jammy, they're that. You know, it's you've got to give them a bit of credit. The problem for me, guys, I don't know how you all feel. You know how much of a big fan I am of Conte, and I'm really excited the kind of players they're looking at. I would genuinely be happy if they finished fifth, but Conte and Kane were there next season, because I think Spurs would have a good summer and they'd start to look really, really strong. Strong.
You're spot on there, mate. And I'm sorry to cut you there, but I really would get this across. If you would have told us at the beginning of the season when we was under Nuno, right? Frank Mark backed me up here, right? Spurs, they might finish fifth, right? Whatever happens, we finish fifth, yeah? Regardless of who's fourth, okay? So say let's take Arsenal out of the equation. If we finish fifth with where we was, that ain't a bad season, chaps. Is it? Really? You would have said.
Well, you look at the Europa League this season as well, and that's winnable for us next season if it's what we're given. Rangers and Leipzig, we've probably got more chance. We definitely have got more chance of winning that than we would have the Champions League. But certainly during the bad times and the low moments under Nuno, if you tell me that we'd finish fifth this season, but go into next season with Harry Kane still there, and Antonio Conte as our manager, I think lots of fans, probably the majority of fans, would have taken that.
It's simply because it's Arsenal, lads. It's a North London derby battle. They are desperate to finish above us. But what have we done it last 5 years?
Yeah, something like that. So
they've got a name for it. St. Tottenham's there. They got a name for it. Yeah. Right? Nice. So for us, as you say, Conte took over us eighth or ninth, devoid of any ideas. We were talking about not even having a shot on target. Now we're like the third highest goal scorers. We need to remember where we were. This guy is an elite manager. Yes, he doesn't stay for very long. What is long-term in football anymore? What is long-term? Do you think Newcastle are going to stick with Eddie Howe for the next 2 years if they start rhyming up that league? Not a chance. It's about now. I'm getting on a bit, lads. It's about now.
No, you're spot on.
No more projects. No more 5-year plans.
Not interested in that.
I want now. That's why I love Conte. No more rebuilds. Yeah. And the kind of players they are looking at collectively, you know, look, it is easier to be fourth financially. We know that. But I also know that there's been previous windows where I have been looking out for transfer deals and I'm thinking, what is this club doing? Why are they standing still? They're going to go backwards if they're not careful. And look what happened.
Well, exactly. How many times have we finished fourth in the last five, six years, you know, with Poch as well? And we didn't have a signing. All right, okay, he did what he did. But we never built. Now, if you're telling me that if we finish fifth, for example, Levy is not going to back Conte, I'll be very shocked if he doesn't.
Well, I think the fact that Kane doesn't
stay as well. He has to stay.
Yeah, I've said it before, Conte's a win-now manager. You know, he's not going to be patient and wait. And I think the difference with Spurs is, and Ali Gold said this as well, that I completely agree with what Ali said, that, you know, Spurs, I think under this tenureship for once, are going to have to adapt their model to the manager. You know, they're going to have to adapt to what Conte wants rather than ask the manager to adapt to what the board wants. And I think that is going to be very, very critical come to someone they have those discussions, because Conte's not coming to Tottenham. I've always believed this. Conte's not coming here just to finish in the top four. He wants to genuinely believe that he can challenge for a title. I know that's very hard when you've got likes of Liverpool, City, Chelsea are going to improve, United are going to improve, Newcastle are going to spend, as Bridgie says there. So, yeah, it's going to be difficult.
I think Spurs will finish top four next season under Conte. Chelsea are losing Rudiger. They're still going through a transfer change. A consortium will mean they can't just go and sign Lukaku. Then it turns out to be a disaster. There will be a consortium where they cannot literally sign X amount of players and then no problem, we'll wipe it off. It can't happen under consortiums anymore. Will Thomas Tuchel get frustrated with that? Rudiger's the first one to leave. Says that Azpilicueta might be going. Manchester United's going to take a hell of a long time. I firmly believe an Antonio Conte Tottenham will be in the top four next season. It's going to hurt Arsenal coming forth because it's the North London bragging rights. Yeah. But they might take their eye off the ball playing in Europe. They've not had Europe this season. No. You know, and they've had the, okay, audacity might be a bit too strong, but to moan about certain kickoff times, everything like that, and when they play for Wednesday, Saturday, when it goes back to Europe again, who's to say they don't get knocked out of the group stage? You know, well, they've got a lot to do as well. They've spent money as well. Look, I think Arteta's done it. As I say, he's done it. We can't just say, oh, they've been jamming. He's done a pretty good job. But I focus in on the club, and it's two big ifs. If Conte stays, Kane will stay. That's what Tottenham Hotspur have to concentrate on. And I do hopefully believe, we keep saying it every summer, last chance to loan. Nuno Espirito Santo was completely the wrong appointment. But Daniel Levy, he could tell the toxic atmosphere in that stadium after the Manchester United game. And when that affects him personally, he reacts, and reaction is usually a managerial change. Yeah. He would see the difference at the moment. They were so well set up against City, so well set up at Liverpool. And speaking to a couple of players off camera, they couldn't speak highly enough of Conte. Like, this manager, what he's done to me, how far he's taken my game. But I think he's reached the limit now with them. And when people say to me, yeah, but what happened against Brighton? Yeah, he's going to lose the odd game.
We're going to lose.
It's one of the week, one of the weakest benches I've seen at this football club. Even in the Martignol era, he used to used to turn around and go, "Cool, what three strikers should I bring in today?" Bent Defoe. But what's he got now? There's a couple of players who you're going to Google even from the under 23.
And our offense, even like you said, even the academy lads are on there making up the numbers. I mean,
and they're not ready. You know, you could Dan Scarlett. He got stone cold stunned in every Europa League Conference League match, didn't he? He was like a rabbit caught in headlights where. He should be just training at the moment with the first team. It's so difficult to bring these players up. You've got to know when the right time is. And it was only really Moura and Bergwijn, and he's looking around at the moment. That's not enough. So you are going to get the odd poor result. But I firmly believe next season, and we've got to stay positive, that if he stays, it's a big if, I think this club's only going to go moving forward.
I think he will stay. I've got this mad...
Let's have it completely right, and let's be totally honest. And as Ricky knows, I've been a critic of the board and the ownership on this very show, as many of the fans have. But did they back him in January? Yes. Yeah. And they got corners of social media saying he wasn't back, we should have done more. He took a huge financial hit on Dele Alli, a player that he could have sold for probably £100 million 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago. He's subsidising most of Tanguy Ndombele's wages at Lyon. But he's taken a hit. And this is very unlevy-like, isn't it, to structure these deals in this way. Giovanni Lo Celso is another one he's taken a hit on. He loaned out Brian Hill and he brought in two players that walked straight into the first team, first 11, improved the starting 11, two players that Conte wanted, and two players that have been played a part in this resurgence that we've made under Conte. So that, in my opinion, was the beginning, the first time that he had an opportunity to give Conte some of the tools. January is notoriously a difficult window, but to give him some tools to work with and try and improve the squad. And if you look at the now, with hindsight, if you look at the January transfer windows, we probably had the best one. I know Newcastle had a strong window, but pound for pound, I mean, Coutinho hasn't done a thing in 7 or 8 games, and Luka Dean's been injured. I'm not saying they're bad players, but, you know, you look at it now, and the contributions that these two players have made, Kulusevski's numbers, most Premier League assists since the 1st of February when he made his first appearance, I suppose, and becoming one of the, in my opinion, the best, most exciting young talents in Europe, doing it in the toughest league in Europe as well.
Yeah, those three as a partnership, Frank. I mean, since Kulusevski's come in, has been remarkable. I just want to bring up one thing, Frankie, just get your thoughts on this. Conte has won only one of the last 8 meetings with Arsenal. It's his worst return against any English club.
Thanks for that.
Any concern with that, Frankie?
I mean, if they beat us or get a point, I don't know what we've done as a fan base to deserve these outcomes, because if you think back to the Lasagna match against West Ham, we lost to West Ham for Arsenal to take our Champions League spot. We finished fourth and Chelsea took our spot and in the Champions League. And if that happened again, I mean, it's not a random team or even Manchester United or a club that we don't have this rivalry with. It's always the clubs that we're in direct rivalry with that take our place. Or
Frank, do you remember that one against United? That effectively gave us the draw, wasn't it?
Yep.
When Mendes' goal, it took us into the Europa League, wasn't it? Under Yo.
Well, it was December end. I think that was quite earlier in the season or January, but I'm talking about at the end of each season. It's always our rivals that Pip us. It's either West Ham or Arsenal or Chelsea, or they will beat us for us to lose out on something. And I just think surely at some point that's going to change. And I think we're all right in the sense that Conte and his mentality and his desperate hunger to win and his desire, we've seen that rub off on some of these players, most of these players, to be honest with you. And if we can give him a squad, and not just a decent starting 11, but a proper squad, I think you'd be pleasantly surprised at how closely he could challenge both Liverpool and Manchester City next season.
I completely agree. I've got such faith in this manager. Honestly, he's a proven winner. And I get it with fans. I know there's two things here. I know they love Pochettino, but not now, lads. Not now. And this guy is elite, right? I'll tell you something I do get with, I understand with the fans, where they sometimes he's very non-committal about his future and this and that. And I know there's been games where he's probably gone a bit too far with his criticism and not knowing that it's the right club for me, the Burnley away. And I'm like, oh, he's gone a bit too far, you know. By the way, when have I ever cried on Skype? These comments coming in is actually unbelievable. King never Arthur. Hey, come on, King.
Arthur,
listen, I was on there the whole summer saying he'd stay. You've got the wrong man here. I was crying with happiness. But yeah, I said he was staying the whole time.
You
and he didn't leave,
did
he, Arthur?
Pale, son. You got your hair cut with pale, son.
Unbelievable. I actually got told off for being too passionate by my producer when I went off there on the Tennis Pro Show. When I was to death of articles saying Levy should take the money and all that. Yeah. And I went on there saying, no, there's no yellow sticker on Harry Kane. There's no discount. Oh, yeah. I was crying with rage, King Arthur.
What we will do is we will go for our first break of the show for our listeners and audience.
Phoenix 51 is a powerful employee technology enabling organizations to make data-driven decisions at every stage of the employee journey, from hiring through benchmarking and development too. The platform provides detailed analytics on the most important asset in your business, your people, enabling organizations not only to make the correct hiring decisions, but also how to benchmark, train, and retain them. Phoenix 51, powering your people decisions through every part of the employee journey.
For our watching on YouTube, there's, I think, over 600 of you plus watching across all of our platforms. Thank you so much. And it's live Premier League football. You're staying tuned with us here for a North London Derby big preview with the wonderful Anthony Costa, the brilliant Michael Bridge, and the fantastic Frankie Major. What an evening we've got in store Thursday night. Guys, next question I want to ask you all, really, starting with you, Anne, is who needs Champions League football more next season? Spurs or Arsenal?
We do.
But do you honestly believe that in terms of the clubs? You think Spurs need it more?
Right, okay, so if we did get Champions League football, there has to be a transfer of the best transfer window we've ever had. Right, I'm not talking about just buying players for the sake of buying players. I'm talking about players that Conte wants. Right, if we go into Champions League season with the squad we've got and Levy thinks, oh, we've done really well this year, I'm not going to spend, we've got no chance. We're just going to be laughed at. So in terms of my heart, of course I want us to be in the Champions League. But my head's saying there's no harm in waiting another year if it doesn't happen this year. It's not the be-all and end-all. As long as we go for the Europa League, that's me personally. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying if we went into the Champions League with the squad we've got, forget it. If we go in the Champions League with players that are going to be willing to come and start, then the future's bright.
I think you're right in the sense that we'll get more marquee signings and a higher calibre of player if we weren't in the Champions League than if you win it. But I truly believe that Conte is at such a huge attraction in himself as a manager. I think he'll be able to attract players regardless.
Bridgie, many call this Spurs getting into the Champions League under Conte. It would be a transformative project to be in the Champions League, then to be able to attract the players that he wants, the calibre of those to bring to the football club. Do you buy that? Is it a massive difference? You know, we know how big Champions League football is, but, you know, United have shown that when they've been out the Champions League, they've still attracted players sometimes based on the manager. How different is it for a club of Tottenham size?
Do the majority of players go for money? They still go for money. I mean, if they get a good package, you know, that's what a lot of it will come down to at the end of the day. So there's a lot of reasons why some players come and don't come. But you know, as I said earlier, you know, Tottenham didn't do enough when they were in the Champions League to retain those spots. You know, Maurizio said it time after time. And then when they did do it, they probably didn't get the right players, did they? Ndombele, Lo Celso. I look back on the time when I reported on Ndombele coming, and I thought, why is this such... Why is it just... You know, why is there no one else going for him, really?
Yeah. King Arthur's back. Respect my...
I say this boy, I tell you. But yeah, it's. I don't think it's the be all and end all. And as I say, I think it just comes down to, again, it's because it's our North London rivals. So
it just, who needs it more, Mike? Taking the Spurs hat off, the neutral hat of Sky Sports on. Who do you think needs it more at the two clubs?
Well, I'll tell you, Arsenal's bank will tell you they need it more. They've not been in Europe and they've been out of the Champions League for a long, long time, and they've had to kind of readjust. They've had to change their level of shopping. You know, people mocked Aaron Ramsdale coming in. I think he's been a good signing. They mocked Benjamin White. He could be their defender for the next 5 to 10 years. We know Romero is an elite player, but they've had to shop in different shops. You know, it's kind of worked for them in a way. They've done all right in the market, but they've spent a lot of money as well. You know, so it's just recruitment, recruitment, recruitment. You can spend all the money in the world, but you get the wrong players. You know, Paul Pogba is an academy player at Manchester United. He's about to leave the club for the second time. And they paid 80 to 90 million to get him back. That's got to be the worst business of all time. Yep. You know, how many times did Chelsea get transfers wrong? You know, it's not great. But of course, everything for this club we're at is Champions League. The stadium, we've not come to the stadium to watch Conference League, but not even Europa League.
Yep.
You know, like I've said to you a million times, you know, you don't want to eat a fillet steak with a plastic fork. You know, we're in this beautiful stadium. We want to see good football as well.
Totally.
It would be some turnaround if they can get fourth. And as I say time and time again, it's because the team above us is Arsenal. But let's face it, last September, when Ronaldo came in, it looked a close shot, didn't it, the top four?
I think
everyone's favourite, the bookies and everyone else. It was Man U shooing for top four.
Yeah, and I think it's wide open this season, and I genuinely believe it'll be wide open again next season. I really, really do. I don't care what any new Chelsea owner says that you've got this stat to spend. It will not be, you know. And let's remember saying on Antonio Conte, he wins titles. He doesn't. Yep.
Five out of the last seven places where he's been, he's won a title.
Crazy stats. He wants to win things. We all want to win things. We want to win trophies. Yep. I mean, boys, you've all got West Ham fans. I'd have probably got a taxi to Jupiter if West Ham won the Europa League and Arsenal got in the top four. West Ham is... Look, that's their big game, Tottenham, but that would have just finished me off with football.
Yeah.
Honestly,
yeah.
Even forget it. You know,
I would have moved to Epping Forest, genuinely, in the middle of the forest. I would myself a cave.
But you know, they were close. They were on the cusp there, and I thought it was all going their way. So it could have been a lot worse this season. Yep. But look, going back to us, obviously it's huge for both teams, huge. But to Arsenal, they've not been in it for so long. So, and remember, like back in August, I think their fans were sarcastically cheering their goal, a Man City goal when they lost 5-0 up there. So they've had quite the turnaround. But it's just. How many games have Spurs lost in the league this season? It's sort of over 10.
11 each. 11 each with both. 11 each.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. It sounds easy, but this is why I always say you've got to do your job and everything else is irrelevant. Unfortunately, we've just slipped up a little bit too many times and they've played teams potentially at the right times. But look, if we win our next two, and it's a bit huge ifs, of course, I don't like that Burnley midday, but...
You know, it's funny. We had a question on that, Bridgie, if I can ask you. I think Mark came in with a question just saying, I will find that Mark has asked the question...
About midday?
About midday. Yeah. Is there any input there from the club on that? Is that directed by the TV rights? I will find that question. Anything you know on that, Bridgie, you can share with us?
I can answer that. It's a good question, and I get it asked quite a lot. It's you know, it's the TV broadcasters with the Premier League and the police. Who will discuss it. If there is a real problem or if they're completely against it, then the club can put in some kind of appeal or why they don't want it to happen.
Yep.
I know it seems like, why does this always happen to us? But I'm sure you've heard Pep Guardiola talk about it. I'm sure you've heard Jurgen Klopp talk about it with their European situation. I think the club can sort of say, why is this happening? But it's very rare when it's I think there's going to be, there was more of an issue if it was Europe to something, competition to competition.
Yeah.
But the club, from what I'm understand, the club have had no issue with it at all. You know, it's
at the end of the day. Sorry, I was going to say, Bridget. At the end of the day, these broadcasters, Sky in particular, they are the reason these players and managers are on these extortionate wages, and there's so much money that goes into football. They have a right, in my opinion. Obviously, the fans matter and count. That's obvious, but they do have a right to dictate these kickoff times, and that's just a matter of fact. Because without their money, the Premier League wouldn't be this massive juggernaut that it is. That, in my opinion, is the toughest, the highest level of quality, and the best league in world football. And a lot of that is down to these broadcasters and the money that they put into our game.
Yeah, I do get the frustrations of fans. I really, really genuinely do. But I mean, you look at it the other week with the Liverpool City FA Cup semi-final. We all know it shouldn't have been played at Wembley, but Wembley needs money. So they moved the kickoff to, what, 3:30? You know, and they laid on 83 coaches. It was never going to move because you then set a precedent. What's it next year? Man United v Man City. You know, they're going to get the same issue again. And ultimately, then they'll move it away from Wembley. Wembley can't afford to lose the FA Cup semi-finals. So a long way round of answering it. I think it's a collective thing. It's not literally Sky or BT and say, all right, Spurs, yeah, you're playing midday. See you later, and put the phone down. It's a collective consultation with the club and the police.
Yeah. No, okay, fair. Frank, you want to come over to you? I mean, listen, we've just seen Arsenal hand Mikel Arteta a longer term contract. Of course, season's not up yet, but they still feel they obviously have given him that contract. From a Spurs perspective, we know Conte's future to some degree, it's still, as Mike said, non-committal. Who do you think, Frank, same question to you, who do you think needs the Champions League more for where the respective projects are looking to go?
Probably both as much as each other, to be totally honest with you. And I also feel that the naming rights, which still haven't been sold, I think that Daniel Levy is waiting for Champions League football, because that will obviously allow him to charge a premium on probably what he'd get now, definitely on what he'd get now. I know, obviously, he wanted to brand the name the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. It's pretty obvious from an economical point of view with these big events, the Anthony Joshua fight, Guns N' Roses, Lady Gaga, NFL, rugby. He's obviously getting the brand and the stadium out there to a global audience to attract a suitable offer for, obviously, a 10 or 20-year agreement, what he's looking for. But I do think he's waiting for Champions League, because then he can get the money that he wants. So from a commercial point of view, I think it's imperative to Tottenham to obviously get Champions League. But as Bridgie said, from Arsenal's point of view, they've spent a lot of money. Thomas Partey was expensive. Gabriel, Ben White, Aaron Ramsdale, £35 million? Odegaard, another £30 million player. I mean, he's done a good job, Arteta. We can't deny that. He's got a young side. I mean, the lineup recently, Elneny, Cedric at right back, Rob Holding at centre back, Lacazette and Eddie Nketiah, and they're getting results. So let's just not be blinkered here and have our Spurs hats on. He's doing a pretty good job. But I think if he got Champions League this year, I think it would probably be a year or two ahead of what they expected it from him. However, again, due to the fact that we mucked around with Nuno, which was a terrible appointment, that set us back. And even if we'd had Conte for another 4 or 5 weeks before he came in, we'd probably be where Chelsea are now, if not in front of them. So that is incredibly frustrating. But again, I think both are the same as each other. I really do. Arsenal, from a financial point of view, maybe not from Arteta. I don't think he's under pressure to get Champions League this season. But I also think that the way that the stadium's set up and the infrastructure of our club now, and the fact that we need these naming rights, and I think a lot of that is linked to Champions League football, I think we need it just as much. So, I mean, again, when we appointed Nuno, when we sat Nuno and appointed Conte, how many fans thought we'd get Champions League? Really?
Yeah.
Touch and go. You would have been happy again with fifth.
We just wanted shots on target, frankly.
Shots on goal. Exactly. Shots on target and to see a better brand of football. But to answer that, obviously, with the reasons I've given, I think from a commercial point of view, definitely both as much as each other. But I don't think Arteta is under pressure to deliver that to Arsenal this season. I don't. And I think that, if as Ant said, if we do get Champions League football this season, obviously, Bridgie's right. Players go for money. I think Conte's a draw, but we might just get that extra sort of calibre of player, as Pau Torres turned us down apparently last summer because we didn't have Champions League football. Yeah. So. Yeah. It could be the difference between certain players and others.
Well, you make a good point there, Frank, because there are, you know, Tottenham and Arsenal do shop in very similar markets. You know, there's some seriously good players in Europe. and there's a lot are going to be available this summer. But I mean, take you to Tomiyasu, who was on the brink of joining us for a while. And then I think it was his Asian Cup commitment stopped him from joining us, and he ends up joining Arsenal. You know, these scouts look and usually end up liking the same players. You know, half of the Premier League were looking at Bruno Guimarães, who I think is, no disrespect to Newcastle now, but way too good for him at the moment. He stands out like a sore thumb in that Newcastle side. You know, you had every club looking at him. It's just which clubs bite the bullet. Now, I bet your bottom dollar when there'll be players this summer, remember I've said this, who will fancy, Spurs fancying a player, Arsenal will look at him as well. And that's the worry, is that, well, we can offer him Champions League football. But the hope for me is we can offer him Antonio Conte, Harry Kane, Heung-Min Son, a very good package as well these days as well.
Yeah. No, great points. Absolutely great points. What we will do is we'll go just for another very quick break.
Phoenix 51 is a powerful employee technology enabling organizations to make data-driven decisions at every stage of the employee journey, from hiring through benchmarking and development too. The platform provides detailed analytics on the most important asset in your business, your people, enabling organizations not only to make the correct hiring decisions, but also how to benchmark, train, and retain them. Phoenix 51, powering your people decisions through every part of the employee journey.
Watching audience, there still needs 600, 700 of you watching us live across all our platforms on an evening where, like I say, there's Premier League football. So thank you so much for all your incredible support. Just want to have a quick dive into, guys, the key players that may decide this North London derby against Arsenal. Ant, starting with you, you know, we'll look at Arsenal to begin with. You know, from kind of attack to defence, Arsenal have, may you say, kind of three players in particular, the likes of Tomiyasu, Granit Xhaka, Eddie Nketiah, that have almost seen them really in the last few weeks really bring a resurgence of form. You know, we've just also seen talks, and Frank mentioned a minute ago, Elneny has actually, I think, now opened talks with Arsenal over a new contract. Anyone looking at them this season, when you've unfortunately had the displeasure to have to watch them, anyone that you fear going into this game that we're going to need to really keep an eye on?
I think Saka for sure. I think he might cause us problems. I think he'll, for some reason, I've got this feeling he's going to keep switching wings, mate. So 1 minute on Emerson, then next minute on maybe Sessegnon. And I think we've got to keep our wits about us because he is, you know, taking my Tottenham hat off, he is a good player. The forwards don't really worry me as much. I think it's, I think with Arsenal, you've got to get in there. Yeah, Martinelli maybe, but he's hardly placed, does he? He's been playing in Nketiah now, hasn't he? So I think we've got to be on our game, mate. As Bridgie said when we first started talking, form goes out the window. I worry maybe for our wing backs. I think I don't want them to, you know, have a mistake in them. I need to be confident going forward. And we need that ball where he's going to cause problems. And that's how Conte's system works. I think I'm quietly confident with our defence. And you know, just try and shut Saka down and just try and frustrate him during the game. Do you know what I mean? Because he can cause problems, for sure.
Yeah, there's been rumours, Mark, that Arsenal might stick that extra man in midfield. Obviously, they're coming to Spurs, not actually needing to win the game. How do you think, you know, you look at the
this
two
worries
teams.
Me, Rick. This yeah. worries me. They've got that yeah. extra man. We've yeah. said it before. We haven't got that player to unlock the defence. Maybe you can say Kane, but do Arsenal play that highish line? They not really, do they?
Not particularly. They're almost the opposite. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they would have watched me. Yeah, they would have watched. I mean, they would have watched the Brentford, the Brighton games, and they would look at that as a blueprint and think, okay, we know the way we're going to set up against Spurs to frustrate them, to really, like I say, limit the chances and then hit us on the counter attack. You know, Bridgie, for all their, you know, they've got some attackers in there, but I mean, Elneny's almost been the revival for them in the last few weeks. How do you think Arsenal would approach them? Who's your most concerning player or concerning players that we need to fear from an Arsenal perspective on that counter?
I think Odegaard's had a good season. He's proved to be
I forgot about him, yeah.
A bit of a leader, really. Obviously, Nketiah is born again. Saka's, as Ant's mentioned, a genuinely very, very good player. Ramsdale is one of those who could potentially have a worldie. He'll try and wind.
Tim Krul against us, isn't it?
Bridget? Yeah, absolutely. You know, yeah, when that Leeds goalie Sunday, when does that ever happen to us? You know, you got to laugh, haven't you?
My God, yeah.
But yeah, you're right. The Arsenal will know. But I just think and I hope this cauldron of atmosphere, you know, and that sometimes leads to a wonder goal from nowhere, from a play you don't expect. I can't see this being one where the crowd get frustrated. They'll know. They'll know. The difference is, obviously, that a point is a great point for Arsenal. But the key is that Romero doesn't go over the top,
yep.
Who is becoming, for me, well, to all right. of us guys, you know, yep. elite, absolutely elite.
There,
you know, he's not the full package yet, mm-hmm. but you know he's that close. But the one little worry for me still is if someone tries to wind him up and he goes for him, you know, yes. You do not want that in this yeah. game. But there's yeah. no. I don't know. Back in the day, there's always someone in the Arsenal side, and even like early 90s, that you could pick about nine of them who'd really get on your wick. You know, I can't like, and then the nearer times, you know, everyone used to, you know, not didn't really like Jack Wilshere or a few of the others, you know, just nothing likeable about them. There's none of these that really stand out, unless I'm totally mistaken, where you just want to sort of someone to go in on them, if you know what I mean. So that's where we have to be totally disciplined. Because I think they'll make mistakes. I think it's, you know, if Cedric plays at left back, for example. You know, when Kieran Tierney got injured, I thought that was a huge loss for Arsenal.
Yes.
You know, Thomas Partey. You know, if I'm an Arsenal supporter, I'm worried about Kane. I'm worried about Song. I'm worried about Kulusevski. You know, I never would have thought a month ago I'd be in bed pining for Matt Doherty's return. You know, that's the Conte. That's what these players, you know.
Yeah.
I think, you know, Saturday, did he tell Emerson to be a bit more defensively disciplined? Because I think Emerson's actually all right at the back. It's just the going forward he offers.
I totally agree. Yeah, I think he's been quite solid defensively.
Yeah, so I think maybe Conte sort of said, just slow it down maybe. We'll get, you know, but, you know, I'm not so, you know, he played well Saturday, credit where it's due. So they will defend. They're going to frustrate. So an early goal could be key. An early goal could be key for sure.
Mm. Yeah, Frank, what do you think in terms of the two teams? When you look at them, like Bridget said there, you know, we've gone past the days of the Pireses, the Wilshires, where there's players in there that really do irritate you and wind you up. Of course, listen, we still want to see, you know, we want Spurs to be ready. We want them to be physical in the right way. But as we said there, we must keep our heads. You know, Xhaka, to be fair, you know, still for me, looks like if you get at him, he's got a red card in
him. He's red card waiting to happen, definitely. Yeah. And I think that typically they like to dominate the ball and play on the front foot. Mm. And I think that will change because they only need a point. I think they'll pack the midfield probably. I think Bridges, right, Odegaard, although he's not getting many goals and assists, everything runs through him in that team. He's the orchestrator. He's the dictator in that team. So we need to do a job on him. And I just feel that without Partey, without Tierney, if we can't beat them at home when they're not their best, I mean, Tierney's a top player for them. Cedric is a big drop down in quality from Tierney. And Thomas Partey, when fit, he's a top football player. He is. He's a brilliant. He's a bit of a monster in midfield. So, if we can't beat this Arsenal side, regardless if they try and stifle and frustrate us at home with some of their key players missing, we won't deserve top four. And my only concern really is touching upon the Matt Doherty situation. He's now Reguilon because it's touch and go whether he's going to be fit again this season. So with Sessegnon's injury record, and obviously just having one right back with Emerson Royale, what would happen if one of those are injured? Who would come in? Would it be Ben Davies? Would obviously push up to left wing back and we'd have to have Sanchez at the back. That would be a change. But I quite like the balance of Ben Davies with that left foot at left-sided centre-back. So it would upset the shape of the team and the balance. So we've got to be quite lucky with injuries. But I think Gabriel has got a mistake in him. Xhaka has got a mistake in him. Elneny's been playing well recently, but I don't think he's a top player. And Conte will know this. Conte will know who to get at, who to target. And I think, again, I'm not usually the most confident Spurs fan. I think we've all been through the mire with this club, supporting them for as long as I've supported them anyway. But I feel confident in this game because, again, the home record that we've got against Arsenal in the league, I think we've got more standout match winners, the front three particularly. And Son at home, Son's home form is ridiculous. And I'm actually going to put it out there and guarantee that Son scores at least one goal on Thursday. Because his home, his record, I'm just saying, his record at the new stadium, man, is phenomenal, isn't it?
It's unbelievable. Yeah,
I think we've got to be brave. I think the lads have got to be brave. And I think Bridget touched upon Romero. Romero's got to keep his head, you know, because they're going to get at him. It's a North London derby.
They'll be targeting him. They'll be targeting him.
Which is fine. We can accept that. But what I don't want is a silly back pass and Martinelli nips in and scores, or Dyer silly handball, or do you know what
I mean? There was a couple, weren't there? We had Lloris threw the ball straight to Trent on the other night, and Romero and Davies, their passing. To be fair to Dyer, Dyer did not put a foot wrong at Anfield. He did not put
phenomenal. The block was unbelievable.
Two outside him, though. The two outside him, their passing was very erratic. And I hope Romero keeps his head, which I think he has. I think since he needed, what was it, two bookings where he would have picked up a suspension, he hasn't been booked. His discipline's been a lot better, and he seems to have matured, and you know, to the pace of the Premier League, and not getting lost with it and diving in as much. So I think we're in good shape. We're in better shape than they are going into this game, because if we were missing two players as important as Partey and Tierney, there'd be big blows for us with the lack of options that we've got.
Yeah, shout out to Eric Dyer as well.
Well, this comes. Shout out to him, mate.
Absolutely,
he's been absolutely fantastic this season, and fair play to him, you know, because he has had, he's come under a lot of criticism over the years, and you know, for his performances, but for Conte to change the guy, I mean, you've seen his presence, someone like Dyer, you've seen him gone from, you know, a boy to a man overnight, sort of thing, from playing under Nuno back in September, August, to now in May. Dyer's just excelled, and long may it continue. A lot of, you know, a lot of our group in it, Rick and Frank, you know, oh, he should be playing for England. Yeah, he should be. But
there's still a lot of haters, which surprises me. There's still a lot of haters for Eric Dyer.
I firmly believe if the World Cup was in June, he'd be in the squad. 100%. Leader.
On this form as well.
Plays in midfield, 100%. He needs to look at other players, Southgate. But look, Dyer's another great example, and it's great people not obviously noticing what Conte has done in such a short space of time. Look at Ben Davies, left centre. Okay, not always great, but ultimately been pretty solid this season. He was one of the players everyone wanted out the door nearly every summer. You know, give this guy a pre-season. Give this guy money. And I'm excited, genuinely. As I've said, I will hate the next few weeks and I'll be muting people all about Arsenal, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's going to annoy me, I know. But if you tell me that it's going to be Conte next season with the players who he wants to keep and the ones he's looking at, bring it on. I will suffer a few weeks of banter. I promise you that.
Right, before we go into close the show in terms of predictions, just a quick reminder that tonight's episode of Last One on Spurs is sponsored by the Beavertown Corner Pin. That's the Beavertown pub, bang opposite the South Stand. They've been doing some amazing screenings of all Spurs, televised away games, and of course, always there pre-match as well. We're down there, of course, on Thursday evening. They're very, very early. Although maybe too early where we're going to start. But listen, it's a birthday in the house, so we're going to have to roll and see how we get along. Although, let's see if we're celebrating a birthday later on that evening, of course, Frankie Major. Of course, you know, make sure you check them out. Great beer, great food, great company down there. They've got a giant telly in the garden, pre-match build-up, a gimme, gimme, gimme. And you know the rest, of course, the entire Beavertown range. Go and check them out. Brilliant Beavertown down, of course, at the corner pin.
Harry Simeon here from the Chronicles of Aguna podcast. Huge, huge game coming up. The North London Derby is always a huge, huge game, but there's obviously lots and lots riding on this one. Place in the Champions League is up for grabs, of course. Arsenal with that 4-point lead over Spurs at the moment, which means that coming into the game, Arsenal don't really need a victory. A victory would be great. It would be nice to wrap it up at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. But, of course, I think the remit for Arsenal is that this is very much a must-not-lose as opposed to a must-win game. If Tottenham were to take all 3 points and close the gap on Arsenal to within a point, well, they'll fancy their chances of overtaking us because, of course, of that tricky fixture we have, in particular away at Newcastle coming up on Monday night. So lots and lots riding on this one, lots and lots at stake. From an Arsenal point of view, I'm a little bit concerned about the sort of mentality going into this game because of that very fact, because this is a must not lose as opposed to being a must win. I think sometimes when your task is clear, when you know exactly what it is you're after and exactly what it is you need, it can be easier to prepare. And I think that one of the challenges that Mikel Arteta faces going into this game is deciding on what the approach is going to be. Now, I don't watch Tottenham every single week. I've seen a fair bit of them this season, and my assessment would be overall that actually they're a side that prefer to play on the transition. They're a side that prefer for you to come onto them. And then they look to exploit those spaces in behind. And I just wonder if Mikel Arteta will think that going into this game, we'd be better off sitting with a low block and actually tasking Tottenham with trying to break us down and looking to play on the transition ourselves. I think the introduction of Eddie Nketiah into the team in recent weeks, and obviously the likes of Saka and Odegaard and potentially Smith Rowe or Martinelli on the left-hand side, give us the ability to play that way as well. We're hoping that Ben White will be back, in which case he can slot into the defence. And you might well see Arsenal play with a similar system to the one that they did up at Stamford Bridge just a few weeks ago. You could see Tomiyasu play at left back like he did at the weekend. Ben White play at right back if indeed he's fit, along with Holding and Gabriel as centre backs. And that's shifting sort of in-game into different systems and different shapes to suit the game state. I wouldn't be surprised if Mikel Arteta was to go down that route. So it's going to be really, really interesting to see how he opts to approach this. But as I say, for Arsenal, I think that, you know, avoiding defeat here is a huge, huge step towards that Champions League qualification. And I can't speak from a Spurs perspective, but from an Arsenal point of view, to get back in the Champions League now would really accelerate the project and the process that we're seeing being undertaken by Mikel Arteta, Edu and their staff, because it gives you a status, it gives you financial power greater than what you would have if you're in the Europa League. It makes the club far more appealing to sort of suitors that you're looking at. And from Tottenham's perspective, I guess there's been a lot of noises about Antonio Conte. I'm not convinced that all of them are true, but I do think he's the type of manager that if they do miss out on Champions League football, will at the very least reevaluate his situation at the club. And that can't be a good thing, because he's a top, top coach and you want to keep him for as long as possible and you want to keep him happy and you want to match his ambitions in order to do that. So I think this is a real key defining season for both of these two clubs in terms of what we're going to see in the next few years. So yeah, lots and lots at stake, lots to play for. I've never visited the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, the new one anyway, so that's going to be interesting as well. They tell me it's great. I'll find out for myself. But hopefully it's Arsenal that are coming away with the result. And as I say, 3 points does the trick. And then we can sort of put our feet up and relax. But I'm not silly. I've been to enough North London derbies and watched enough North London derbies to know that this is going to be a really, really difficult night. It's going to be a really difficult game. I'm expecting a cracking atmosphere. In terms of my prediction, I'm going to go with a cagey 1-1 draw, low scoring draw, I think is probably the most likely outcome. In terms of Arsenal's lineup, if I had to predict it, I'd say it's going to be Ramsdale in goal, White, Holding, Gabriel and Tomiyasu across the back line. Xhaka and Elneny in midfield with Odegaard just in front of them. Saka from the right. I'd guess Emile Smith-Rowe from the left with Eddie and Nketiah through the middle. So that would be my predicted lineup. As I say, interesting to see whether Mikel Arteta adopts a pragmatic approach or whether he goes for a more bolder and braver approach and feels that we can really go there and impose ourselves on Spurs. I think that's a risky way to go, given your strengths on the transition. So that's my take on it. And we'll see who comes out on top. Cheers.
Right, guys, we're into the final home stretch. We're just going to now look at the team news ahead of this game. Obviously, Conte's been talking today in his pre-match press conference. Not a huge amount coming out of that. I think, as we know at the moment, probably the 11 really picks itself. We know, you know, most likely we're going to probably see Sessegnon and Emerson Royal holding the fort as the wing-backs. Ben Davies still sticking in that position, of course, as the left-sided centre-back. As for Arsenal, Ben White, obviously he's missed the last two games through a hamstring injury. There is hope that he will shake that off in time for Thursday. And also, Arteta has played down any fears of Bukayo Saka not being available for the weekend. And as we know, confirmed earlier, Thomas Partey, Kieran Tierney do miss out of the team. We'll start with you, Ant. Really, is it team really picking itself, as I've said there, Ant? Do you see any...
Team picks itself. Yeah, as I've said on the shows before, I'd like to see a change at right wing back, maybe give Bergwijn a bit of a shout, a bit of a run, because it might be his last, you know, one of his last home games at Spurs, because obviously there's talk of him going to Ajax in the summer. And I, for one, have had a bit of a soft spot for him, especially this season. I think he could have kicked on and done a lot more of what he's done with his confidence. But I think, coming back to your question, sorry, I went off track. I think that the team does pick itself. And yeah, I think it will go down, you know, the 3-4-3 system. So, yeah.
How important, Mike, coming over to you, team news-wise, do you expect or envisage any changes? And if you don't, how important are those wing-backs on the evening for Spurs?
Well, look, I mean, this Conte's probably one criticism or one or two criticisms he receives from people slash fans is he's very stuck in his ways, you know, when we've had disappointing results or not much backup is the importance of these wing-backs. Let's face it, if Tottenham upgrade their wing-backs this summer, wow. You know, it would be some upgrade. What are you laughing at?
What's that noise?
There's even someone
in that snoring noise. Is someone in your...
Is someone snoring in your... Someone snoring at Bridget's house. Bridget sent someone to sleep.
It's the father-in-law. He's back.
He's father-in-law.
He's gone early. He's gone early. We will bring him back round, I tell you.
Why Bridges got his father-in-law around, and we were speaking to him off air, and it appears he's had one or two jars of something. Yeah. So,
father-in-law, Bridgie.
Right.
I'm going to say, you know what? We've had some wonderful clips the last one of Spurs this season. We have to find a way of clipping these up for the end of the population. It just gets too much. It's always, you know, when Bridgie comes on, we've always got something going on. We've got the Wi-Fi, we've got scoring, we've always got something. It's just magnificent.
So magnificent.
What made me laugh was Bridgie's trying to be really serious and we're just
cracking. I don't know what you're laughing at.
You know what I mean? It was Frank's face. Frank's face looked, it was like...
At first, the first couple of grunts or whatever, I thought it was someone dug.
Did you
photograph?
No.
Oh, my God. Right. Let's come out of you, Frankie.
What's the question?
The key to the wing-backs.
I personally, I think Reguilón's got a future there. So, and it's amazing that we missed...
Oh, wow, it's gone. Oh, it's gone. It's just so hard, isn't it? Pretty honestly, but those...
I thought I was on mute. I'm sorry, mate.
Pretty honestly, in terms of wing-backs for you, how pivotal is that Emerson Royale keeping his head defensively? Oh, I mean, we know going forward, that's the only thing that really lacks in his game, but defensively, he showed himself to be really solid against Liverpool.
Massively. I mean, look, you know, Ant's killed me. Who'd have thought we'd miss Doherty? You know, and, you know, I was told that, you know, he's been told to find another club in January, which he really didn't like. So, yeah, it's going to be key. And if Tottenham get these new wing-backs they're looking at for the summer, then I really think it's going to push them on.
Yeah. Come out of you, Frankie. Team news-wise going into this one. You know, would you expect Spurs to keep the same 11 as we saw against Liverpool? Do you see any enforced changes based on the fact? Yeah,
no changes. I think Sessegnon can take confidence from his performance at Liverpool because he was brilliant defensively. Salah in his pocket again for the second game running against Liverpool, and I think Emerson Royale was much improved. I mean, defensively, as we've said, he's pretty decent, but it's just the final ball sometimes. If he can make better decisions and whip a better ball in. I think his approach play was a lot better against Liverpool. You know, looking for 1-2s, he looked quite confident on the ball, which he hasn't done in recent games. So we need more of the same from Emerson Royale, more confidence from both wing-backs. Get at these Arsenal defenders, particularly if he's got even Tomiyasu on his side, left-back, because he's right-footed. So go on his outside. If it's Cedric, get at Cedric. Do you know what I mean? He'll have Kulusevski there with him as well. He's an intelligent footballer. Who he can work 1-2s with in the right spaces. So, yeah, no changes. Again, we've got to be lucky with injuries because the bench options aren't that great. I don't see anything changing in this game.
Right, guys, we're gonna look to close it with predictions if we can try and get through the next couple of minutes. Let's start with Ann. And big game. Yeah. You're gonna be there. We're all gonna
be there with the man on the screen, Mr. Bridge. He's kindly his ticket, so I'm going to be sitting there with Bridgie, obviously celebrating Frank's birthday as well. You're coming as well, Rick, by the way.
Yeah. Thanks for reminding me.
What am I predicting? Well, I hope that ain't a snore fest.
Quite literally.
No, listen, obviously I'm going to go for a Spurs win. I'm going to say 3-1 Spurs.
Okay, well, 3-1 Spurs, yeah. Keeping it alive. And Ant, very quickly, if we do obviously 3-1, do you still feel confident we can make the top four?
Let's win. Let's try and win all our games, mate.
Okay.
Yeah. But it ain't level. A bad season if we don't, right? So I'm just going out of it.
Okay, level with an answer. Bridgie?
A nervy 2-1. Nervy 2-1. I do think we'll win, but a nervy 2-1.
2-1 from Bridgie. Frankie, over to you. What are you going to go for?
2-0 or 3-1. I think we'll win by a couple of goals. I think the atmosphere would be too much for this young Arsenal side. I think we'll take the game to them. And just to add in, Rick, I wanted to slip this in that over the last week, I've actually been trying to liaise with the club and the supporters trust regarding the atmosphere at this stadium. Now, there is a fantastic Twitter page, Tottenham Flags, that is going around at the moment, doing a bit of crowdfunding and fundraising to try and raise some money to basically try and make this massive single stand, south stand that we've got, which has been designed specifically to generate noise and an atmosphere, and to try and almost put our own stamp on it, but to make it our own cop, to make it our own big yellow wall, to make it our own Celtic Park, which is needed. So we're talking big flags and banners of Bill Nicholson and some of the club legends, Ledley King, with quotes, you know, this is my club, my one and only club, scarves. This is what we need. Again, it will be unique. It will be our own. But look at Anfield's cop. Look at Anfield's cop. Don't do it. So get behind these boys. Put some money in, even if it's a couple of pounds or whatever, to try and get this going. And a couple of other suggestions that I've made as well to the club, to a gentleman called Levi Harris, who hasn't responded yet. But I've been in contact with Dan the drummer. He used to be the drummer in Park Lane back in the day at the old stadium. He's willing to make a comeback on Thursday with a view to obviously come back next season. Now, the club apparently have allowed him to come back. I've been liaising with Cat at the Supporters Trust, who, by the way, has been so helpful with this and given me so much information. But Cat has said that the club allowed Dan to come back with a couple of stipulations. One of them being that he can't drum up songs that encourage the Y word, basically. So we're working on a couple of things. I've spoken to Dan. I'm going to speak to the club. So hopefully we'll get him back for this game, get him drumming in that big south stand.
Yeah.
So we've been working on that. And one last thing as well, I want to do a shout out to Spurs_reach on Twitter, which is a friend of mine's initiative. They've been working with a club. The club actually put a tweet out there today. Ryan Sessegnon and Tanganga done some stuff with these guys. Good people. They've just started a Twitter page and social media. Basically, the group is, their mission is to promote the values of Spurs, supporters from diverse backgrounds, and champion diversity and equality and inclusion. Because football is for everyone, as we know. Part of the reason it is the beautiful game is because it's so inclusive, it's so global. And I just like what these guys are doing, because we've come a long way in the last 30 to 40 years in particular of who can attend football matches, because it wasn't always like that, which is ridiculous to think of in the world that we live in now. And it's basically anyone can sort of get behind them. So they're brilliant as well. Follow them. But obviously try and get behind these Tottenham flags. I really like what they're doing. And hopefully, guys, I'll get some news tomorrow and we can get Dan the drummer back, bring the Spurs drummer back, get him pounding that drum to get the atmosphere up. And then hopefully by this time next season, we'll have our own proper south stand with flags and scarves and banners and a lot of history on the stadium. And we'll have a drummer back, drumming his thing, doing his thing, getting the atmosphere up, because we can make this stadium a real cauldron. And sometimes it isn't. So this is why I'm trying to do this. And I think everyone should sort of get behind it. That's what I wanted to say. So two good initiatives. A lot of stuff going on that we're trying to get going. So make sure you support them both.
Absolutely.
Top man, Frank. Top
fantastic.
Man,
no, listen, we need to make that. I think you, Frank, you said it yourself. You know, we've got to make this stadium like a cauldron on Thursday. You know, it's really important that the atmosphere in that stadium is not for the first minute. It's not just for the last minute. It's for the full entire game, right? We need to make that stadium really intimidating.
Well, even really just quickly, another suggestion I've had is, you know, the digi LED banners where they show AIA and the supporters groups and all the rest of it. I've asked the club if they would be willing to put all the trophies we've won that go around in rotation during match days. Like Arsenal have got, I'm sorry to use Arsenal as an example, but they've got all their trophies on the hoardings. We haven't got anything like that in the stadium. So it would be quite cool if, you know, we're always told that we've never won any trophies. We've got a history. And the club haven't responded yet, but I've put that forward. I think it's a great idea. And all these little suggestions and little things, just in my opinion, gives the stadium its own identity. And it will add to the atmosphere and the matchday experience for every single Tottenham Hotspur fan during these matches.
Yeah. I mean, love it, Frank. Fantastic. No, brilliant, honestly, mate. Fantastic. Brilliant. And thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it. Listen, it's going to be a massive, massive game, of course, on Thursday night. All of us are going to be there. Yeah, so if you do see us, come and say hello. Obviously, seeing us before the kickoff is probably better than afterwards. I'm not sure what state of mind we're all being after. So I'll be honest with you. I mean, there will be a, I must say, there will be a post-match show. Just don't ask me how that's being produced and how it's being developed, but we'll let you know. I know Bridgie's face kind of seems where I'm at. I don't know where it's being done, but I know Bridgie. Unbelievable. It's being done somehow. I know. I can't believe it myself.
Top broadcaster, mate. You're a top broadcaster.
We try. Bridgie, where can we find you? Where can we find the amazing work you do?
Well, Michael Bridge _ on Twitter. I'll be on majority on Sky Sports News throughout the summer. Always thanks to the supporters for their really nice interaction. I know you get frustrated by a few things, but you're always very good to me. So a thank you from me to the supporters. Because at the end of the day, boys and girls, I'm a diehard fan. But thank you. The people who come up to me in the ground, you're always very kind. You're always very nice. As I say, I know you get frustrated with a few things. You can always ask me questions and I try and answer them as best I can. So thank you.
Yep. And don't blame me if it's not the right answer.
Bridgie's fantastic as well. Bridgie does the darts, which he's brilliant at, the pole now on Sky, as well as the football. He's a man of many talents and one of the best they've got on there, if not the best. So,
cheers, Frank, mate. Cheers, mate. Appreciate it. Thank you.
I just hope we keep seeing as many trophies as Bridgie keeps seeing.
I'm sick of handing them out. Yeah.
Can you add some of our players eventually, please?
I know.
And a wonderful Frankie Major. Frankie, from us all, wishing you a very happy birthday. I hope you get the best.
Can't wait till Thursday. Thanks, guys. Thank you very much.
Buy your drink Thursday.
Amazing. Guys, from Anne, from Bridgie, from Frankie, from myself. Guys, keep safe, keep well, enjoy the game. As Ant puts up on the screen there, keep the faith and come on, you Spurs.
Sports Social Podcast Network.